I'm with Dawn Clark of Aurora Designs this evening. Good evening, Dawn.
Good evening.
Dawn owns Featherston's very own hat shop. And at the beginning of Recuperate, when I first started Recuperate, I couldn't stop going on about your shop because I was just thrilled with the fact that we had a hat shop and Greytown didn't. And Greytown just think they're the business. So it's a real thrill to be talking to you this evening. Now, Dawn, you're from England originally, aren't you?
I am. I'm from Leeds originally. Mm-hmm. Yes. Moved around England a little bit before I came over here, so the accent's still there a little bit.
Now, I know this is a question earlier on before we started the interview. We were talking about questions that we don't like being asked too much, too often. But how did you come to New Zealand?
Well, I can give a few answers. Usually I either say by plane or my undying love for Neil Finn, which is obviously what we were discussing earlier on. But no, at the time it was really just for a change of lifestyle and, you know, hopefully better job, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And came at completely the wrong time because the economy everywhere collapsed. So it probably wasn't the best decision timing-wise anyway.
And when you were in the UK, you were a teacher, is that right?
I was. Well, I was actually a lecturer to start with,
right.
Tertiary education. So I started off teaching teenagers and mm-hmm. adults, the ones that other teachers assume want to be there, so are really easy to teach but aren't.
Well, those ones.
Yeah. And then I also retrained as a secondary school teacher, and I did a lot of relief teaching and things when I first came over here.
Right.
Moved on to things like UCOL and things like that as well. So yeah, quite a variety. I think I taught new entrants and sixth form in the same week once, which was a bit strange. You have to make sure you change what you say and how you're saying it when you
know your audience.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, to go from being a teacher to being a milliner, mm-hmm. Is quite a leap of imagination and skill set. So, just give me and the listeners a brief idea of how you came to be a milliner.
Really by accident, I guess. I mean, I never actually thought it was very creative for a start. So, I mean, obviously I've done things with teaching and doing school holiday programmes and things where you had to think of things for the kids to do. Yeah. But I was never very creative myself, but I always loved hats. Mm. And one of the first major things I did when I came to New Zealand was went to Napier to the Art Deco weekend. And it was a big celebration that year because it was the 75th anniversary of the earthquake. Yeah. And I thought, oh, great, you know, all these Art Deco fashions that I've always been into, I'll buy myself a hat or two, and then realized how much they cost, and I thought better of it really. And so I started buying older hats and some newer sort of basic hats and decorating them and things like that, thinking, you know, well, I'll do it myself, and then kind of progressed from there, and now I do the whole thing.
Where did you learn the trade?
Well, I did a one-day course with a lady, right. Who was a professional milliner, and she was fantastic, very nice lady, up in Levin, and she showed me how to take the felt hood, which is what you buy as a milliner, and how to shape that, yep. and make it into a hat. And after that, I just kind of did my own thing and wow. did things that I liked.
Yeah, so it was just a one-day course and you were off.
Yes, I did a one-day course with her, made a hat for myself, took it away, and then thought, oh, I really liked that. So I thought I'd have another go and see how it turned out. And obviously, you know, you have to practice a lot before yep. you get what you're actually looking for. And yeah. Some turn out better than others to start with. But I think I've got the hang of it now.
And so does it take a lot of equipment? Do you personally have to invest a lot of money in equipment, or can you kind of wing it as a milliner when you first start?
Well, a bit of both, really. I mean, I think if you were just wanting to make one, it'd be a bit of a waste of your effort and your money, really. But yeah, you kind of build it up. I suppose it's like any kind of hobby, craft or otherwise, you know, yeah. you sort of get it a bit at a time, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have the most expensive, lavish equipment, let's say. And I do tend to work with polystyrene hat blocks rather than wooden ones because I just found them a lot easier.
Right.
But a lot of people are quite interested how I make all the different sized ones on the same block. So yeah.
is that something you can convey but on radio, do you think? Is it more
language.
Of a visual?
Well, I guess it's just, you know, how much pressure you put on things and how much force you sort of use to stretch things and
right.
and knowing which direction to stretch things in and yeah. how much to pull things in and how much to pin and what to pin where and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
But yeah, it's it's very challenging sometimes, but in a good way.
Right.
Not like when I used to work with kids.
Different types of frustration.
Yes. And you can put the hat down and go away to another room if it's that bad.
How long are we looking at to make one hat? And what are the kind of set stages that you're involved in?
Well, nowadays I tend to do them in batches.
Right.
Because it's a lot easier. Because you imagine your first step is really to do the steaming and the shaping and everything. Mm-hmm. And by the time you've got all the equipment out and you've done the thing and then you've put it all away again, you might as well have done 5 or 10.
Yeah.
Rather than just get it all out for one. So I tend to spend maybe a day just doing that stage of the process.
Right.
And then they'll spend the next week or 2 weeks in various stages on various hat stands and heads around my house while I'm waiting to actually get to them to do the sewing parts and the decoration parts and things. So I guess if you did one from start to finish all at once, you'd be talking probably, you could do it in a day, you know, not a kind of early in the morning till last thing at night day, you know, reasonable hours. But yeah. I guess a lot of that is because I know what I'm doing at this stage.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of trial and error when you first started?
Yeah, I mean, even now, I'll do some sometimes and it just doesn't turn out how I like it. Mm. And sometimes it's a taste thing.
Yeah.
And you'll show it to somebody else and they'll say, oh no, I really like that. And it was just that it didn't appeal to me personally, but there's nothing wrong with the style. Others, I just think, no, not quite right, and take it apart and do it again.
Right. So you there is an element with hat making where you can kind of go back and still use the same materials.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, initially when I first started, because millinery materials are really hard to find.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows somebody who was a milliner, but there aren't many of us around these days.
No.
So at one point there would have been, you know, factories all over the place in this country and everywhere who sold all these supplies.
Yeah.
Now there aren't. So when I first started, a lot of the hats I bought were vintage hats. And there might have been, you know, just felt hats that had never been worn. There might have been ones that belonged to granny and had been sitting in the bottom of the wardrobe for the last 5 years or 50 years. And I'd reshape them, steam them, take them apart and re-sew them into something else.
Wow.
And obviously with that stage of steaming as well, it kind of gives them a steam clean at the same time. Yeah. So they're nice and fresh. They might as well be, you know, brand new.
Yep.
And you also get that kind of added element of it being a little bit vintage as well.
Which is, there's a big kind of cachet now with vintage, isn't there?
Exactly. And with hats particularly, vintage ones, if anybody's ever tried them on, they're usually really tiny.
Right. Just like, head's got bigger.
Yes. Well, it's like if you try vintage shoes, they're really narrow. If you try vintage gloves, they're really tiny.
That's it. And those tiny waists that they all sport.
Yes. Yeah. And if anybody comes into the shop and looks at the decoration on the walls, you know, they're all Sears catalogue decorations. You know, authentic ones from the 20s and 30s, and they are like the supermodels of their day, kind of size 6, size 8.
Mm.
And anybody who tries on a vintage hat, obviously they fit some people, but they don't fit the majority of people.
Right.
So taking one apart and remaking it into something else, some people might see it as a bit, you know, sacrilege almost, because it's this vintage item that shouldn't be spoiled.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think, what a waste if nobody gets to wear it again.
Absolutely. It's the whole recycle, reuse.
Exactly.
It's very now.
Yes.
You're on trend.
I'm very ecologically sound.
And where do you get your inspiration from the hats? Because I'm looking around your shop now and there's all manner of colours. The stars are all kind of a type, aren't they? Of that kind of cloche hat. But the colours and the decoration, we've got feathers, you've got ribbons, you've got bows. Where do you get your inspiration from?
A lot of it is things like those catalogue ads and things like that. A lot of it is old movies. I've always been into those as well. I mean, at one point I taught film studies. I wrote a 5-year thesis on Alfred Hitchcock, so I had to watch all these old movies, so a lot of it's just kind of what I've seen here and there. And the thing with mine as well is that they're meant to be practical for now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can look at this style on, say, you know, 1930s film and think, beautiful hat, but it wouldn't have been very practical if you wanted to wear it now.
Yeah.
So, you know, take the wire out and make it a little bit more practical and everyday. And I mean, some of them are just based on those styles and they're a variation of it. So they're not over the top ostentatious styles of the Art Deco period,
no,
but they are based on them.
From you speaking and when we've spoken in the past, that when you discovered that you could make hats, that it kind of opened up a whole new world. You know, you said you didn't think you were very creative. Can you imagine your life now without making hats?
I don't think so, actually. No, and it's kind of led me on to other things as well, because as I said, you know, I didn't think I was creative at all. Mm. But I mean, I make other things as well now. I mean, I do a lot of greeting cards and things, all in that Art Deco style again.
Yeah.
I've started renovating furniture to sell in the shop. And, you know, I mean, obviously I've got paint on my arm today, so it's a bit of a giveaway what I was doing this afternoon. But yeah, even things like that, I wouldn't have thought I could do upholstery or, you know, doing up furniture. So,
And I think we should talk about your first song that you've chosen. So with all my willing interviewees, I asked you to bring along a couple of songs, and you've chosen Peter Gabriel, That Voice Again. And I think you're about to confess to having a rather large crush on Peter Gabriel when he was young.
When he was young, definitely. Definitely not now. I mean, he's about the same age as my dad, and he probably looks a bit more like my dad now these days. But this was sort of mid-80s, about 86, I think. And I just had this huge crush on him, and all my friends at school were kind of going in for Duran Duran and all that kind of stuff, and it didn't really do anything for me. So I like to think I had a more mature musical taste, which, as I said to you earlier, was more like my friend's dad's at the time, which was really handy. Yeah, they could afford the CDs and we couldn't, so.
Aurora Designs is on Fitzherbert Street in Featherston. Some people might say that you've taken a bit of a gamble coming to Featherston, because we're next to, we're kind of the poor cousin to Greytown. That's what some people think. What made you come to Featherston, and what made you kind of think, right, I'm going to take this punt and I'm going to do it?
Purely by accident again, I think, actually. I mean, I've been making the hats for about 3 years. Yeah. Been selling on the internet and at markets and fairs and things like that. I'd always been saying, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a little shop, mainly because all this stuff was stacked up in my living room all the time, going from market to market, and our house was getting steadily smaller. So, and it's not a huge house to start with. And so it was a case of we just saw shop for rent and thought, well, it would be worth a look. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we rent in the place. We haven't bought a building and taken such an enormous gamble. But at the time, it was a case of there's so many empty shops around, and everybody's always saying, wouldn't it be great if somebody opened them and did something? Yeah. And nobody does. They always say, wouldn't it be great if? So I thought, well, I've got the stock. I know I can make more stock. Yeah. And I know what I'm doing in terms of making the stuff and selling it. Yeah. so why not have a go?
And it's been a great success, hasn't it?
So far, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not going to retire and go and live in the south of France or anything like that.
I don't think anyone does these days.
No, you'd have to make quite a lot of money for that these days. But no, I mean, it's enjoyable. And it's kind of, I had this vision of it being more like a showroom than a sort of really busy shop.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to be, you know, customers queuing up at the door when I came in or anything like that. But no, it's ticking over quite nicely.
That's fabulous. And you sell in the shop, but you also sell online. Yep. At felt.co.nz.
That's right.
And also Etsy, you said.
Yes.
How's that spelled?
E-T-S-Y.
E-T-S-Y, yep. I have seen that. And and you also sell at craft markets, is that right?
I do, yeah. From small ones to big expos and things. I think the biggest ones I've done are the Women's Lifestyle Expos I did this year in Wellington and in Palmerston North. And I've done slightly smaller things as well. Like I do a regular market over at the Cozy Club in Upper Hutt on one Sunday a month. And I've recently started going back to New Rags Market in Masterton, which I haven't done for a little while because the dates were all wrong. And all the markets seem to be on at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, it's quite a good idea to kind of get your stuff out there so people in other towns can see it, because obviously, as you say, Featherstone's not a huge place.
No.
And you can't guarantee all these people will just happen to stroll past and see
No.
that there's this wonderful shop here. And a lot of people who do drive past are on their way to Greytown, as we know.
Yep.
So, you know, sort of lassoing them as they go past or something, you know.
That is an idea.
It is. I have considered putting something on the road just by the zebra crossing there to make people have
the
to stop.
The police
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
And it's what's been lovely, actually, since I've started Recuperate, even, is that with the arrival of your shop and the consolidation, really, of Craft Country,
yep.
there's something of a bit of a craft hub
yes.
going on, isn't there?
Yeah, and it's a big kind of thing that's coming up in a lot of places these days. That whole sort of handmade, handcrafted thing is getting really big again now. And obviously, I think a lot of it's to do with that whole economy crash, and people can't generally afford to go and shop in department stores and
No.
all that kind of stuff anymore. So, and they want to get back to that sort of homey feel as well.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of a backlash really against that kind of mass-produced side of our life, isn't
yes.
it? And that, I mean, whilst there are a lot of hats in here,
yeah.
you couldn't say that they're mass produced. They're individual
exactly.
and they're handcrafted.
Yeah.
And for people who wanted to come and try on a hat or wanted a hat for a special occasion, mm-hmm. you offer a bespoke service as well as
this. Yeah. Yeah, I can make to order, and it's the same cost. I don't charge extra for doing that. What I try and do with the stock that's actually in the shop is just try and have a good range of the styles that I do and
yeah.
the sizes and the colours and things. So, you know, you can look and you could say, well, you know, I like that style, but you haven't got it in my size, and could you do it in that colour?
Yeah.
So, you know, it gives people an idea. They can try things on so they know what size they need and that kind of thing.
And what kind of cost are we talking about for your kind of a basic hat to the more frilly affair?
Well, I'm very straightforward, and I charge the same price for all my felt hats. They're all $75 each,
right?
Which my partner tells me is way too cheap, but I tell him that the reason I started doing this in the first place was so people like me could afford to buy a hat in the first place.
Yeah.
And you know, why should you be rich to be able to buy a hat?
Well, that's it. Back in the day,
yeah,
everybody wore a hat,
exactly.
rich or poor. It was
that's
one of
right.
those universal kind of things to wear,
exactly.
wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. You'd never go out without your hat and gloves. But, you know, if you look at a lot of things, you know, you might be wearing the same hat all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, with mine, you could buy a hat that's for a special occasion, but you could wear the same hat as an everyday hat as well.
Are you getting to the stage now where you're seeing your hats on the heads of Featherstonians?
I am indeed. And I often get texts from a friend who says, I've seen another one on the train this morning. And yeah, all over Wellington as well. And I actually did a market in Hastings about February, I think it was, just before the Art Deco weekend. And I saw a lady there wearing one of the hats that I'd sold about 2 years ago. And she remembered me, and she came over and tried some of the new ones on as well.
Brilliant. And that's lovely, isn't
yeah.
it? When you see your works of art going
exactly.
around.
Exactly.
So I think we should go on to your second song, which is a Crowded House song. So we've had Peter Gerrard, who's very English, and now we've
yep.
got Crowded House, which is very Kiwi.
Yes.
I think the reason for your choice of song, Distant Sun, goes back to that Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier on, goes back to that question, why did you come to New Zealand?
Yes, and it's a similar thing, I guess, to the thing with Peter Gabriel. You know, I did have a big crush on him. And obviously, I think most people with any common sense and any taste in music have probably got a bit of a crush on Neil Finn as well. And yeah, I just think he's really talented. And it was one of these bands that I always liked. Yeah. And obviously came over here, and then he moved to London, so he obviously got wind of me coming over here. But yeah, obviously, once I was over here and they reformed, which was nice, I got a chance to go and see them.
Oh,
so so it's probably quite a good move actually for that.
You would change. I don't pretend to know what you want. When you come around and spin my top, time and again, time and again. No fire where I lit my spark. I am not afraid of the dark. Will your words devour my heart and put me to shame? When your seven worlds collide, whenever I am by your side, the dust from a distant sun will shower over everyone. You're still so young to travel so far, to know who you are, wise enough to carry the scars without any blame. There's no one to blame. It's easy to forget what you learned, waiting for the thrill to return, feeling your desire burn and drawn to the flame. Whenever I am by your side, dust from a distant sun will shower over everyone. Dust from a distant sun will shower over everyone. And I'm lying on the table, washed out in a flood, like a Christian fearing vengeance from above. I don't pretend to know what you want.
Aurora Designs.
More of the same, hopefully, and again, hopefully a lot more people will find out about the fact that we're here and the great service that is offered here and fantastic hats, and not to forget, of course, that they are excellent for the kind of weather we've been having.
Oh.
And I keep walking around town in one of mine or two of mine, you know, depending on the day, whichever one I choose, just to show that they don't blow off.
Yeah.
And you know, people are actually getting used to that now and saying, oh, there she goes, you know, and it's staying there.
Absolutely, yeah, because we are renowned for wind in Featherston.
Yes.
Now, I know that you're you're interested in trying to get some sort of craft mm-hmm. fair, maybe going in Featherston, yes. and that's something maybe that you pursue in 2013?
Yeah, it was something I would have liked to get going this year, but there's just not enough time and a few kind of things holding me back at the moment, mostly kind of, you know, different kinds of permission we need and things like that. Ideally, what I'd like is something on quite a big scale, on a monthly kind of arrangement, with lots of food stalls outside, a bit of entertainment. I really love a Punch and Judy show, if anybody's got one, and that kind of thing. So, you know, you've got something to keep the kids happy. Yeah. You can come and you can have something to eat. You can have a wander around, and then really good quality handcrafted stuff inside as well. You know, the sort of top end of stuff. The idea is to get people to come to Featherston, really.
Well, thank you very much, Dawn. I've really enjoyed talking to you this evening. I wish you all the best with Aurora Designs. I thoroughly recommend it as a place just to come in and enjoy seeing well-made, handcrafted goods, beautifully designed, beautiful colours. So good luck with everything, and thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much, Lucy.